Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. Today we open with some bad news about ICU capacity across Southern California and some good news about the arrival of vaccines. A judge has halted closure of restaurants and strip clubs, and we'll have details today. Plus, we'll have information on that Santee brush fire earlier this week, Congressman Hunter, who may be seeking a pardon from President Trump, and on People Power, we'll tell you how you can help a Julian family that lost their home in a fire and have no insurance. We'll have the recount results in Santee and the outcome of an initiative to give the people a vote on the Finita Ranch development in Santee. From Public News Service, hear how California teachers are fighting back against a bill to force opening of schools and more. Plus, we'll have the latest on congressional relief efforts. And then on the second half of our show today, we'll have some fun with some East County holiday specials, including "Twas the Night Before Christmas, East County Style," and a performance of Vivaldi's Gloria by the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra. So stay tuned for the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters.
This is Brianna Gomez with the Health Report. With the COVID-19 death toll spiking and hospital ICU capacity dropping to zero in the Southern California region, the state has ordered 60 refrigerated storage units to use as makeshift morgues. In addition, 5,000 body bags are being distributed to San Diego, Los Angeles, and Inyo counties, Governor Gavin Newsom announced. The state has averaged 163 deaths a day from COVID-19 in the past week, up from 41 a day a month ago, and ICU beds are 99.5% full. Although San Diego's ICU capacity is better, some local hospitals are also filling up. The county has approved a plan allowing hospitals to divert ambulances to other facilities. Already, some ambulances have reportedly waited hours to have patients admitted for emergency care. Any remaining local beds could fill up fast as hospitals overwhelmed in nearby counties are sending patients to San Diego County. Under mutual aid agreements, hospitals here must accept those patients unless the local hospitals are full too. That could lead to a triaging of patients, meaning deciding which critically ill patients may be denied admission to ICU units, a situation healthcare workers hope to avoid. Besides COVID-19 patients, this could also negatively affect others, such as victims of motor vehicle crashes and those suffering other medical emergencies. If our hospitals fill up, sending San Diego patients elsewhere may be difficult or impossible. With Southern California counties overall at zero capacity, there is some good news amid the doom and gloom. The first 327,000 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine by Pfizer arrived in California this week, including around 28,000 doses that arrived in San Diego County. The state is expecting another 393,000 doses within a week. Inoculations have begun for acute care medical workers, the first to receive the vaccine locally, but there are only enough doses for 72% of workers in the first-tier category. Each healthcare system will decide how to prioritize these vaccines to its employees in regional acute healthcare hospitals. Also in the first tier are residents and employees at skilled nursing facilities, though distribution to these facilities is being handled separately by the state. In addition to the Pfizer vaccine, vaccines by other companies are currently undergoing review by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, with the likelihood that more vaccines will soon be approved and distributed locally. Dr. Wilma Wooten, the county public health officer, says, quote, "The arrival of the vaccine is great news and will give us the best tool to slow the spread of the pandemic. However, this does not mean people should not continue taking the necessary precautions to avoid getting COVID-19, she cautions. The current stay-home order and shutdown of many businesses will continue for 3 weeks, or until the region's ICU capacity rises above 50%. The shutdowns have added to the economic hardship facing many businesses. Governor Newsom called the need for emergency steps to bring in more body bags and mobile refrigerated trucks to hold the bodies, overloading morgue's capacity, quote, sobering. The spike in the pandemic is occurring not only in California, but nationwide. COVID-19 is now killing around 3,000 Americans each day, more than the number of people who died in the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Governor Newsom urges Californians to wear masks and stay home, except for essential needs, through the holiday season. We need to be mindful of where we are going in this current journey together to the vaccine, he says, adding that, quote, we are not at the finish line yet.
San Diego County has announced that it is temporarily halting enforcement of COVID-19 closure orders for restaurants and live entertainment venues after a judicial order on Wednesday. But the reprieve may only be temporary, since supervisors also approved appealing the ruling by a 3-2 vote. The case arose out of a challenge against shutdown orders filed by two strip clubs, Cheetah's Gentlemen's Club and Pacers Showgirls International. In his ruling, Superior Court Judge Joel Wolfeil ordered the state and county to cease enforcement of California's regional stay-at-home order against strip clubs until their case is heard in trial. On Thursday, the judge clarified that his order also applies to restaurants, provided that reasonable safety protocols are followed. The judge's decision indicates that the state and county failed to provide evidence tying spread of COVID-19 or lack of intensive care beds to live adult entertainment. However, county health records have regularly listed restaurants as sources of COVID-19 outbreaks, though it's unclear whether any have been traced to strip clubs serving food. Although the county has suspended enforcement of closure orders against restaurants and strip clubs for now, a statement issued by the county after the ruling states, with record numbers of new infections, deaths, and ICUs at capacity, we want to remind everyone to do your part. Please don't gather, socially distance, wear a face covering, and wash your hands. Supervisors posted diverse reactions to that news on social media. Wednesday night, Supervisor Jim Desmond wrote, we assume the state will appeal, and my colleagues voted to appeal. Supervisor Kristen Gaspar and I voted to not appeal their decision. We believe that businesses should be allowed to safely open. But Supervisor Nathan Fletcher chided Desmond, saying, 2020 is so strange. On a day with a record number of ICU patients and hospitals telling us they are canceling cancer patients, having their tumors removed, my colleague is bragging about fighting to keep strip clubs open. The ruling came after the strip clubs received cease and desist letters from the California Attorney General's office, advising that the clubs were violating a December 3rd stay-home policy that banned both indoor and outdoor dining, as well as large gatherings. Pacers attorney argued that no cases of COVID have been tied to either strip club since a month ago, when Judge Wolfeil issued an earlier temporary restraining order keeping the clubs open, an action that sparked anger among restaurant owners and owners of other businesses shut down due to the pandemic. They questioned why they should stay closed when strip clubs were open. The club's attorney argued that club owners imposed safety rules, such as allowing just one entertainer on stage at a time, and adding barriers to keep audience members away from performers. Many restaurant owners locally greeted the news with relief, announcing plans to reopen dining indoors, outdoors, or both. While the halt on enforcement brings relief to struggling restaurant owners, the move concerns health officials at a time when Southern California region's ICU bed capacity has dropped to zero as of our taping deadline. Some members of the public voiced anger at the judge's decision. Local author Caitlin Rother posted on Facebook, the media needs to find out more about the background of this judge, she asked. How is looking at naked women more important than public safety right now when we have no ICU beds? Has the world gone insane? Judge Wolfeil was appointed by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to fill a vacancy in 2007 and has since won elections in 2010 and 2016. Unless he retires, he will next face re-election in 2022. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
Tensions ran high in Santee on Wednesday when a fast-moving brush fire scorched 36 acres, threatening homes and high-voltage power lines. Photographer Scott Legacy says of the blaze near his Santee home, crazy and way too close. The Chaparral fire began in the 10,000 block of Chaparral Drive near the Carlton Hills neighborhood. Sheriff's deputies went door-to-door evacuating residents, and an evacuation center was set up at Santana High School. Fixed-wing aircraft and the sheriff's Astrea helicopter made water drops, joining ground crews from multiple agencies battling the blaze. Fortunately, no homes were lost, and forward spread was halted around 3:15 in the afternoon. Evacuation orders were lifted by early evening. The cause of the fire remains under investigation.
On January 4th, former Congressman Duncan D. Hunter is scheduled to report to prison at La Tuna, a federal correctional institute near El Paso, Texas. His sentence, originally slated to begin last May, has already been delayed once due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But the virus is still raging at La Tuna, where an inmate has died and at least 18 staffers have been infected. David Burstein, Hunter's lawyer, told media last week that he has no plans to seek another delay. But he did not respond when asked whether Hunter may be seeking a pardon from President Donald Trump, Times of San Diego reports. Hunter has not applied for clemency through the Justice Department, the usual process when seeking a pardon, according to Margaret Love, a former U.S. pardon attorney. But the department has over 14,000 pending petitions. Instead, Hunter may have applied for a pardon directly to the president. Love told Times of San Diego, "I have heard that many, many people are trying to do an end run around the regular process," adding that she would not be surprised if Hunter has done so too. Harry Littman, the Talking Feds podcaster and LA Times columnist, says that Trump's cronies have not gone the conventional route of applying through the Justice Department. When Hunter was indicted, Trump tweeted support for the Republican congressman and suggested he would be handing out pardons like candy. So far, Trump has granted 29 pardons and shortened 16 sentences. Those include friends and supporters such as Roger Stone, former Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and former Dick Cheney aide Lewis Scooter Libby. While Hunter awaits word on whether or not he will have to report to prison in 2 weeks, his wife, Margaret Hunter, has filed for divorce, citing irreconcilable differences. The congressman initially tried to blame his wife for campaign finance violations, even though the diversion of $250,000 in donors' funds for personal use included money spent on trysts with multiple mistresses. Margaret Hunter cooperated with prosecutors in the case against her husband. Both pleaded guilty to violation of campaign finance laws, but the court showed leniency to Margaret Hunter, sentencing her to probation, not prison. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
A GoFundMe page has been set up by Julian community members to help the Lares family, that's L-A-R-E-S, after a fire destroyed their home last week. The family of six was renting, and they had no insurance. They lost all of their belongings, including Christmas gifts and tablet computers needed by their children for remote learning during the pandemic. The children include Perla Lares, a senior at Julian High School, and former teen Miss Julian, and her brother Gabe, a freshman at Julian High School. No family members were injured, fortunately, but the family's cats and chickens died in the fire. Cal Fire County Fire Department, which took over fire services last year from Julian's volunteer fire department, responded to the blaze and prevented it from spreading to other structures. But Lorelei Van Britten, a longtime supporter of the volunteer fire department that was dissolved last year by the county as part of the county's consolidation of firefighting services, has raised questions over whether the home might have been saved. On Facebook, she wrote that Cal Fire and the County Fire Authority had to wait for a water tender truck to come from Palomar Mountain, that's nearly an hour away, adding, "A brush rig arrived at the fire with no water, no hoses, no ladder." The former volunteer fire department had 5 or 6 pieces of equipment stationed in Julian at any one time and 60 trained volunteers to respond quickly to emergencies. Those opposed to the consolidation have long voiced concerns that homes could be lost due to first responders now coming from outside of Julian. We reached out to Cal Fire to request the cause of the fire, response times, and equipment that was dispatched, and so far we have not received a response. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
A recount in the Santee District 4 City Council race is over. Each candidate picked up one additional vote from ballots that were not previously opened or counted, but it didn't change the outcome. Dustin Trotter officially has 3,920 votes, a mere 5-vote margin over Sam Hurst with 3,915. The San Diego County Democratic Party agreed to terminate the recount once untallied ballots were examined. Just over 1,000 ballots were recounted out of around 8,000 cast in District 4, the Registrar's Office advised East County Magazine. Besides one vote found for each candidate, a third untallied ballot was opened and found to have neither candidate marked in the Santee Council race. Hearst posted on Facebook that she called Trotter to concede the race and wish him success as the new council member. To her supporters, she wrote, quote, "Those hopes and dreams have not died with my campaign. We will continue to work toward making Santee a positive and inclusive place where every person and every family feels welcomed and valued." Trotter stated, quote, "I'm happy to see this over, go forward serving the citizens of Santee," the Union Tribune reported. The recount was conducted in full view of public observers with plexiglass shields and masks to protect recount workers and observers. Both sides voiced confidence in the election process locally, overseen by Registrar of Voters Michael Vu. The race marked a victory for Republicans, pro-business and pro-development interests in Santee that heavily funded the campaign to elect Trotter a building contractor. The outcome was a disappointment for environmentalists, racial justice advocates, and Democrats backing Hearst, a UCSD professor and public health scientist. But the razor-thin margin in the election shows the changing demographics in this once solidly conservative stronghold. That leaves Democrats with hopes that a victory in Santee in the future may no longer be an impossible dream. The election outcome leaves Santee for now with five Republicans on the council, since independent Stephen Wallahan gave up his council seat to run for mayor, but lost his mayoral race to incumbent Mayor John Minto. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Brianna Gomez.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, in the heart of San Diego's East County.
This is Miriam Raftery with a report from Santee. The County Registrar of Voters has certified that a challenge to Finita Ranch, the largest housing project in Santee's history, is successful. Despite the pandemic, opponents of the development led by Preserve Wild Santee, an environmental political action group, delivered 6,236 signatures to the city clerk's office in October after the city council approved the project in September. The number was nearly twice the minimum needed, and more than enough have been determined to be valid to qualify it comfortably for the ballot. The verification means that the Santee City Council is faced with the decision to either rescind the project's approval or place the issue before Santee's voters, either in a special election or on the next general election in November 2022. Given the city's fiscal constraints, especially after a year when the pandemic laid waste to a significant share of sales taxes, it's likely the council will opt to wait until the next general election in 2 years to place the issue on the ballot. Coupled with the passage of Measure N, it's clear that a majority of Santee voters want to weigh in on the Finita Ranch project. Measure N calls for any new development that does not conform to the city's general plan to go to a public vote. It passed by a healthy margin in November. But whether Measure N includes Finita Ranch is debatable. Finita Ranch required zoning amendments to allow higher density than the general plan allows. In addition to nearly 3,000 housing units, the project would involve about 80,000 square feet of commercial space as well as a fire station and possible elementary school. Supporters of Measure N say it applies to all projects approved in the past year, including Finita Ranch, passed just weeks before the November election. But that view will likely be challenged in the courts. HomeFed, the publicly held development company for Finita Ranch, pumped about $300,000 into an unsuccessful campaign to persuade local voters to support the project and vote against Measure N. The developers argued it would invest millions into improvements to Highway 52, local roads, access to the property, and addition of a new fire station. The company hired workers shown on video trying to interfere with people trying to get signatures to the anti-Finita Ranch petition. Jeff O'Connor, HomeFed's vice president, says he's surprised how quickly project opponents collected the large number of signatures during a time when the COVID-19 infection was surging. He says it's too bad the Santee residents will have to wait 2 additional years for improvements to State Route 52, access to use Finita Ranch for hiking and biking, and maybe most importantly, the new fire station that could have been used to help fight yesterday's fire, O'Connor said on December 17th, referring to a brush fire that threatened homes just one day earlier. Opponents say the 8,000-plus new residents that Finita Ranch housing would bring in would worsen traffic issues and present life-threatening situations if a mass evacuation for a wildfire occurs. They also objected to the loss of open space, wildlife, and the last large swath of undeveloped land in the city. Van Collinsworth, director of Preserve Wild Santee, says while the signature gathering was done by a large group of volunteers, his organization also contracted with paid workers to assure it would be successful. He says it's unlikely the Santee Council will rescind the Finita Ranch approval, given that, quote, developers own all five GOP seats on the City Council. A reference to developer donations made to council members, two of whom voted for the project, in contradiction to promises they made to voters back in the 2018 election, when they stated on this radio show that they believed the people should have a vote on Finita Ranch. But now, Thanks to the residents' successful petition drive, just affirmed by the registrar, the people will finally have that vote unless the City Council opts to withdraw its prior approval of Vineta Ranch before then.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, December the 18th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Teachers unions want to see significant changes to a proposal they say would force schools in California to reopen in March, as long as they're out of what's called the purple tier, or most stringent level, of COVID-19 restrictions. Assembly Bill 10 will be taken up as an emergency measure when the California legislature returns in January. California Federation of Teachers President Jeff Freitas wrote to state legislative leaders this week to oppose what he describes as blanket mandates to reopen.
The one line that we don't want to cross is to remove that authority of local control. Our school boards, our parents, our educators should have the rights, the control, and the data to make the decisions for themselves.
That letter notes that teachers want to return to class but worry it may not be safe. It calls on California to establish a statewide tracking system for outbreaks at schools as they reopen. It also points out that AB 10 contains no benchmarks for things like testing and contact tracing in schools. The bill is sponsored by several prominent Democrats in the legislature. Meantime, KTLA-TV5 reports health authorities say the intensive care unit capacity dropped to 0% in Southern California on Thursday. That as a record 379 coronavirus deaths and more than 52,000 new confirmed cases were reported in the state. KTLA notes these staggering new figures mean that California has seen more than 1,000 deaths in just the last 5 days and nearly 106,000 confirmed cases in just 2 days. The pandemic death toll reached 21,860 in California, which has also seen the most cases in the nation, with more than 1.7 million confirmed. And in what would be an historic selection, President-elect Joe Biden has nominated a Native American New Mexico representative to serve as the U.S. Interior Secretary.
If confirmed by the Senate, Holland would be the first Native American cabinet secretary. Gussie Lord is a managing attorney of tribal partnerships for the environmental law firm Earth Justice and believes Holland, as a representative of the nation's indigenous peoples, is the right person for the job.
Native women hold a lot of leadership positions in tribal communities and tribal government and tribal businesses, and it's really gratifying to see this leadership that's been apparent for so long in Indian country be reflected in the national leadership.
I'm Roz Brown.
When she was elected, she was one of the first two female Native Americans in the Congress and represents New Mexico's first congressional district, which covers most of Albuquerque. This is PNS.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 elections in uncharted territory.
When it comes to unemployment benefits, stimulus checks, aid to small businesses, and so much else, we have a responsibility to get this right. People's lives depend upon it.
Congressional leaders are expected to work into the weekend to finalize a deal on a second COVID relief package. Thursday, Senate Minority Leader Democrat Chuck Schumer called out Republicans for stalling.
Had the Republican majority joined in negotiations any time in the last 6 months as we had requested, we would not be in the unfortunate position of negotiating against the government funding deadline.
For Pacific Network and Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman. Thanks for listening.
Was the night before Christmas, and all across East County, not a creature was stirring in December 2020. Cowboy boots were hung by chimneys with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. From Barona to Ramona, Hakumba to Hamul, East County folks in quarantine this Yule can't party hardy with potluck dishes, but they did send Santa these holiday wishes. In downtown La Mesa on Restaurant Row, where owners have relied mostly on orders to go, the merchants are eager to have a vaccine so that we can soon end this long quarantine. In rural areas where fires burned through, residents are asking Santa Claus to bring plenty of rain on his Christmas Eve flight, along with a helicopter that can drop water at night. Up in the mountains, where the waters turned cold, and multi-day power outages have grown old. The people just want their lights to stay on and shut-off notices from SDG&E to be gone. El Cajon's city council is fervently hoping the pandemic will end so Magnolia can open, filling the theater in the new year with music to spread much-needed cheer. Santee residents want racial tensions to end, while renters are asking Santa to send payments to landlords to stave off eviction after layoffs and COVID-19-induced friction. While most folks are snuggled all warm in their beds, East County's homeless want roofs over their heads. On sidewalks, in riverbeds, in their stocking caps, they tried settling down for cold winter's naps. When up in the sky there arose such a clatter, they sprang to their feet to see what was the matter. Away to the tent flaps they flew like a flash, tore open the fronts, and out they did dash. The moon on the breast of the sidewalks below gave the luster of midday to objects aglow, when what to their wondering eyes should appear but a magical sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, they knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick. Besides hawks and eagles, his reindeer they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen, to the top of the hill, then the new border wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before Santa Ana winds fly, when they meet with an obstacle mount to the sky, so in through the treetops the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of gifts and Saint Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, they heard a dog woof, and the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As they drew in their heads and were turning around, down St. Nicholas came to their camp with a bound. He was dressed all in fur, from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with pine tar and soot. A bundle of gifts he had flung on his pack, why, he looked like a homeless man opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. He covered his mouth with a mask and a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. An Indian peace pipe he held tight in his teeth, and its smoke encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like Julian apple jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, so all laughed when they saw him in spite of themselves. A wink of his eye and nod of his head soon gave them to know they had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but turned with a jerk, filling wishes for food, toys, good health, and work. Then he doled out hand sanitizer and toilet paper rolls, and, giving a nod, to the heavens he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down on a thistle. But all heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Merry Christmas, East County, and to all a good night."
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, in the heart of San Diego's East County.
Glory on the inside. Thank you.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.